I don't have my Scofield Bible, so I can't tell you guys what page number it is. I can't tell you where it's at. It's if you go to all the way back to your book of Revelation, you turn back one book and you'll find Jude there. You'll find Jude there. So I completely understand while I was preparing this message really a few weeks ago and working through this, that I understand what Jude was saying when he said, you know, I really wish that I could write to you about our common faith and write you a letter of encouragement, but this is so serious. This is so serious. We got to stop, and we've got to give this word. So I feel the same way as Jude did tonight. I wish that tonight's message was a complete message of encouragement, and it is in a way. But Jude's message is strong, and it's bold. Tonight's title is Enoch's Warning and God's Justice. Enoch's Warning and God's Justice. We've actually made our way through verse 13 so far. So we'll pick up tonight verse 14, 15, and 16. And if you are able, and you can stand one more time just in honor and the reading of God's Word, I'd appreciate that, and so would the Lord. Verse 14, 15, and 16 says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." Verse 15, "to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." And verse 16 says, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." Lord, I ask that you bless the reading of your word, the teaching of your scripture. God, I ask that you bind the enemy, Lord, that he may not snatch any of the seed that would be planted here tonight. God, I ask that you collect my thoughts, prepare my words. Lord, help me with my eyes tonight. Lord, that I may see the scripture in my preparation, Lord, that you've given me. Prepare our hearts for what you're teaching. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I remember a few years ago, I don't remember which hurricane it was, but I typically, I often enjoy watching Fox News, the coverage during a hurricane, for the simple reason I always think it's crazy that there's this massive hurricane going on and there's a weather reporter there holding on to a tree and his raincoat's flying in the side, and I'm like, okay, could they not find a television studio somewhere outside? Why do they have to cover the hurricane in the hurricane? But I always watch Fox News or some other news outlet when those things hit, see what's going on. And I remember, I don't even remember which town it was, but there, an entire coastal town received an evacuation warning, and they said, get out of town. I remember hearing the sirens, they were going off. They had issued from the emergency broadcasting system evacuation warnings to people's phones. I remember watching the mayor of that town plead with the people, saying, get out, this is going to be bad. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime type hurricane. Get out. Go home. Just get on the interstate and go, because we're not going to be able to get to you. Rescue workers will not be able to get to you for days, because this is going to be bad. And then I have, they would pan to Bubba in there in the local community, and Bubba would say, "I have lived here my whole life. I've weathered storms before, and the last one they said was going to be bad wasn't that bad." And they would even joke about it. And they didn't want to be inconvenienced. Then I remember the storm surge hit. 20 feet storm surge of waters come, and tragically some people never made it out alive. I believe now, more than ever, we live in a time where the warning signs of God's coming judgment is firing. And unfortunately, I think many people are ignoring them. The warnings are clear. We see it in Scripture. We see it in our culture. We see the moral decay of our society. And the world says, we're fine. We're fine. We've seen storms before. We're fine. We'll make it out okay. And even worse, I can see the secular world who denies the power of God and the grace of God. I can somewhat see that and say, all right. But where it bothers me is that churches have stopped preaching about it. Jude 14, 16, we just read, gives us direct prophetic warning from a man thousands of years, even before the flood of Noah. He saw the judgment of God coming. And now Jude pulls that warning to the present day and says, God's judgment is real, it's certain, and we must respond. So I want to lean into these verses. There's only three, but there's a whole lot of meat here tonight. As we go through, so just remember where we've came from. Jude is writing to a church that is threatened by false teachers. They're sneaky, they're selfish, they're sensual men who distort grace and create a license to sin out of it. And now Jude comes to emphasize certainty of judgment. He reaches way back before Moses, way back before the flood, way back before Israel, all the way to a man who we know very little about. His name is Enoch. So let's look again, verse 14. It says this, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." And this is a continuation of the sentence, even though we have a different verse. "To execute judgment on them all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds." I also want us to see tonight that Jude wasn't the only one that saw this coming. Paul actually warned Timothy of the same, that the church would drift away from the truth. If you don't mind, can you put up 2 Timothy 3 through 4? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires," church, listen to this, it says, "because they have itching ears, they will heap up from themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables." What Paul was saying to Timothy is there's going to come a time when sound doctrine will be traded for sweet-sounding lies. That people will flock to pastors and teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And folks, I believe we are living smack dab in those days. The alarm sounds are firing, but the pulpits of today's churches have muted it. And that's why Jude and Enoch are so timely. I mentioned early, it's as current as today's newspaper when you pick up this book, God's Holy Word. So let's talk about, just to dig a little bit, I like to spend some time researching what we're going to be sharing. So I had some questions. When I was little, my grandmother, I just recently learned to talk, and my grandmother, who is my mama, who I love very much, called my mother and said, does your child ever shut up? He has asked question on question on question. I was one of those why children. Why? What's this, mama? What's this? Why is this, mama? She finally told me I was a sight. And I said, what's a sight? That wasn't a pleasant answer. However, I remember the answer. I just can't speak it publicly. She was pushed and with me at that point. But, so I ask why. We know so very little of Enoch. In fact, we get maybe 1.5 verses there in Genesis. And here's what we know about Enoch. So Enoch had some kids. One of them was Methuselah, who lived a very, very, very long time. And Enoch walked so closely with God that he was called out. He just called him home. He's like, you just going to walk with me that tight? You just here with me. Just boom. So he was raptured out. And so I got to kind of chewing on this, and I'm like, so Jude knows an awful lot about Enoch for us to only have 2 verses. He's got a prophecy from Enoch. So here's what my research has shown. Jude actually quotes a book that we call the Apocrypha. And the Apocrypha did not get included in our canon of Scripture. And the reason why it did not get included is because they could not verify the authorship of Enoch. It was biographical in nature. And so it did not get included. But Jude is quoting from the book of Enoch, chapter 1. Verse 9. Here's why that's okay. Because Jude is being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit of God said that Enoch said and prophesied, you know what I believe? I believe Enoch prophesied. Because the Holy Spirit has at least identified and verified that at least this one part, Enoch chapter 1 verse 9, is accurate. The Holy Spirit has verified that because he told Jude to write it down. Y'all good with that? All right. So this one specific prophecy was inspired by truth. And God, through Jude, affirms Enoch truly spoke this. So again, even before Noah built the ark, God was preaching that judgment was going to come. Judgment was going to come. Enoch walked with God. He was raptured before death. A picture of the rapture to come to us. If we ever want to see what rapture looks like, you go back early on and you see what happened to Enoch. In the twinkling of an eye, Enoch was gone. But before he left, Enoch left us a warning. The Lord is coming, not with baby soft hands, but with the armies of heaven, and to judge. This is not popular. The topic of hell and judgment is not popular in today's church. But this isn't some late addition to Christian theology. Hell and judgment has been the plan of God from the earliest days. We see that all the way back to Enoch, folks. So we can't treat it like it's new. Today's church can't treat it like it's new. Something that we've conjured up to scare people into a submission to the Lord. That's not the case. Judgment has always been in God's picture for how He was going to deal with sin. So my second point tonight is we have a severity of the warning. I talked about the source of the warning, so now let's talk about the severity of the warning. Jude's language here is very heavy, and I broke out this word study here or sentence structure. So I wrote these things down: to execute judgment on all, to convict all those who are ungodly, to convict all of those with ungodly deeds, to those that live in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So five times, y'all see this? Five times he says ungodly. Our previous pastor Shane would say this from the pulpit. In law enforcement, we would call that a clue. Five times. I'll tell you a quick story. One of my best friends, I actually just got to officiate his wedding a few weeks ago. His name is Josh. And Josh was always, growing up, very kind of lackadaisical. Whatever happens, happen. He was very calm, cool, collected. He's a police officer, and he actually had to deliver a baby one time, and I was completely shocked that he wasn't made the news and everything. And I'm like, out of all the people delivering a baby, Josh Baggett was the one doing that. Wow. But Josh, he's a good guy. Josh was staying at our house one weekend. And he put a Pop-Tart in the toaster, and he hit the button down, and a few minutes later, that toaster started smoking, and my mama, her house burnt down when she was a small child, so anything that is fire related in the home, she's got a PTSD towards that. So the smoke's a billowing out of the toaster, and so that sets Mom off. What it also set off was a smoke alarm and smoke detector. It went off, and it's going, you know, beep, 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 beep. So our little dog at the time, I remember it started howling. I mean, it was just chaos there over a Pop-Tart. And my mom's running around. She grabbed a towel, and she was waving the towel at the fire alarm to get it to stop going off. And then Josh comes in out of my bedroom. We lived in a small house. He walked out of the bedroom, and Mom's, you know, she's all to pieces because something's burning. And Josh is like, huh, I guess I left it in there too long. No urgency, no alarm, just actually kind of talks like this. I'll make fun of him because, hey, I guess I just left that in there too long. But he said, oh well, but that's right there. That It reminded me of how some people treat the judgment of God. The smoke's rising, you know, the billows are coming out, the alarm's going off, and folks just shrug it off today. That's where we are as a culture. Folks shrug off the judgment of God, like, no big deal. God's too busy to worry about big sins than to worry about my sin. So what does ungodly really mean? Let's really chew on this for just a minute. And I got about 10 minutes. What does ungodly really mean? Let's look at Jude 15 again. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, and all their ungodly deeds to which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, who are ungodly people? I believe that Jude isn't just emphasizing general badness, like bad to the bone boys, you know, like Jimmy on his motorcycle. I'm just joking. He's not talking about just general badness. He's revealing a heart posture. A rebellion against God that it is deep-seated. So who are ungodly people? I believe ungodly people are those that reject God's authority. They live as if he don't exist. They twist his grace. This is what we're talking about with the false teachers. They twist his grace into permission to sin. I believe that's one definition of an ungodly people. What are ungodly deeds? I believe ungodly deeds are acts that openly defy the moral law of what God stands for. I don't believe this is the kinds that are done out of ignorance. I believe this is the kind that is done out of pride. So then we also see committed in an ungodly way. So not only were the deeds wicked, but the motives and the methods are corrupted. So the heart behind the actions, not only the deeds themselves, but the conspiracy behind it. And then we see the fifth thing, ungodly sinners who speak against him. You know what these are? These are mockers. These are the mockers who don't just sin, they slander the very character of God and what he stands for. It's more than just immorality. It's a spiritual upheaval and insurrection and war. Spiritual war. Can we jump for just a minute? I try not to jump around too much, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And such people turn away. This isn't just things that are out there in the world, folks. This is what Jude's warning has crept into the church. It's no accident that Jude is warning us here, because God is perfectly holy. He's perfectly holy. That means God can't turn a blind eye to sin. He has to deal with it. He has to. Remember, we said this, this is kind of like the motto in Jude, grace isn't permission to sin, it's the power, it's the fuel to obey, to fall under His lordship. You know, James taught us a few weeks ago that real faith comes by belief and action together, right? That's what real faith is. But today's world doesn't want a God of judgment. Our culture prefers tolerance over comfort and conviction. Even the church, we have grown timid about hell. We whisper about God's judgment while the Spirit shouts about it. Jesus Himself found that it was very important to talk about hell. He actually gave the most graphic picture of hell that we have. You'll find that in Luke chapter 16. The rich man dies. He finds himself in torment, in flames, and in thirst and agony. And then he begs what? He begs for a drop of water. Just a drop of water. Just a drop of water. And it was so horrific that he pleaded for somebody to go tell his brothers. Don't go my way. What does Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets, so let them hear. God has already given the warning. Judgment is certain. So what does that mean for us? The time to respond is now. Time to respond is now. My third point tonight is, who are the subjects of this warning? Jude 16 exposes the ungodly. He shows us who they are. Look at Jude 16. We'll go back, flip back. Jude 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Does that sound familiar? So who are the grumblers? We'll break this down simple tonight. Who are the grumblers? Those are the folks who are never content. They're never content. Who are the complainers? They're always bitter. Who are the lust-driven? They're the ones that are slaves to their own desires and not slaves to the lordship of Christ. Manipulators. Who are they? They're the ones that use words to twist and to gain control. So these are the what we call wolves in sheep's clothing, right? These are false teachers, false preachers, false Christians in pulpits. They may be influencers on social media. They may have a television program. They may be on the radio. Or they may be your next door neighbor. But they've got a Bible in their hand, but compromise in their heart. And Jude says they won't get away because God sees it. God's looking at it. He sees it. It's clearly in His view. God knows and God will act. So now, how do we respond to all this? We've got the warning. We're going to listen to the evacuation warning from the hurricane, right? We're listening. We're seeing. Our eyes are open. So this is not just a warning to them. It's a wake-up call to us. So how should we respond? My fourth point. How should we respond? One way is that we preach and we teach the full counsel of God, even when it is uncomfortable. It's not totally comfortable to stand on this platform and preach to you about the judgment and the hell that is coming. That's tough. But we have to share it. Even when it's uncomfortable. I'll give you some scriptures real quick. Acts 20:27, it says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." That's what Paul said, or Luke said in Acts. So that includes hell, judgment, and the second coming of Christ. We should not shun away from that. Secondly, how we can apply this is pursue godliness in a godless culture. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "What manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness?" I'll simplify that. God's coming. Live like it. God's coming, so we should live like it. Third, proclaim the gospel urgently. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hell is real. Heaven is real. People matter. Time is short. Another way that we can apply this is plead with the wandering, and we can warn the wicked. I'll jump just for a second to Jude 22:23. We've not got there yet, but he says, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." The church must not be silent while the world runs toward the flames. It's our job to be the stopgap. And far too often we have been too quiet. So just like those that are failing to heed that evacuation warning during a hurricane, many are spiritually asleep while those warnings come. The word's clear, judgment is certain. Jesus is coming, not in weakness, but in power, not to be judged, but to be the judge. So now if we stopped right there, I would leave us tonight in the ashes of judgment, and I just can't do that. I just can't do it. So here's a twist. The same God that is coming in judgment is the God that first come in mercy. You know, he came before on a donkey, but he's going to come back on a white horse. He first came with nail-scarred hands. He's going to come back with a sword. He came first to take your judgment, and he'll come back to bring it. But the good news is, today you still got time. Right now, we are living in the age of invitation. If you don't know Him, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. If you do, this should put a fire in your belly, because judgment's coming. Friends, family, loved ones that still need to hear the gospel message of Jesus. People all over the world that still have not heard and still hasn't received Jesus as our Savior. So let me close with this last truth. It's more than a warning. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. 2 Peter Chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "The Lord is not slacking concerning His promise, but He is long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance." I am the world's worst. If there's anything about me that my wife cannot stand, is I love the snooze button. We don't even... We've got We've got a, we typically, we let Alexa be our alarm clock, and so, you know, I don't even have to hit it anymore. I can just say, it'll go, doo-doo, and I can go, Alexa, give me 5 more minutes. And I didn't have to get up, and then it'll put, so I keep putting it off. Will we roll over? Will we hit the snooze button? Will we have spiritual apathy? Our church, will we rise up? Will we wake up? Will we speak up? Because that's what Jude's calling us to do. That's what Jude's calling us to do. So ask yourself, in your journal time, in your prayer time, what parts of God's judgment do I avoid talking about? Why do I avoid thinking about it? Is it because it makes us uncomfortable? But remember, truth is loving. And warnings save lives. Warnings save lives. It may be uncomfortable to talk about it. But warnings save lives. How does knowing hell is real change the way that I live this week? It should create urgency in how we share, how we pray, and how we live holy in front of others. If I could have our musicians come, y'all can begin playing once you get seated. Folks, I want you to listen closely tonight. The warning sirens are going off. Just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Enoch, people are eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're building, they're scrolling, they're singing, and they're sinning without a care in the world. But Enoch saw something that people didn't. It was real to Enoch. I imagine it was just like God revealing the revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos. Enoch saw the same visions, the judgment that would come. So Jude is telling us tonight, to you and me, behold, the Lord comes. You may not even hear many sermons about judgment anymore. You may not like the sound of hell, just because the culture, I believe, has canceled that doctrine of eternal punishment. But that doesn't mean God has canceled that doctrine. Hell is real, judgment's coming, and I promise you, grace is still available. Grace is still available. So what will you do with the warning tonight? Will you harden your heart like the mockers? Or will you run to Jesus tonight and cling to the cross? Maybe tonight you're living in a form of godliness, but denying its power, like in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read. Or maybe you kept up in a religious appearance, but deep down and true, you have rejected God's authority in your life. Or tonight, maybe you're just weary, and God's word tonight has reminded us that this broken world will not have the final word. Jesus will. Jesus will. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to do 3 things. If you're feeling any of those things or any other emotion tonight, or the Spirit's moving you in any way, I ask that you confess that. If it's a sin, I ask that you repent of it. And I'm asking that we all surrender to God tonight. We all surrender completely and totally to Him. Come to Christ not as a casual churchgoer, but as a desperate sinner needing grace. Believers, maybe tonight that you need to renew your urgency. This world cannot go to hell while we nap in comfort, while we hit the snooze button. Let God's word tonight, Enoch's vision and Jude's words, let that wake you up tonight. Let it wake you up. Reignite your fire to witness. Guys, witness, witness, witness. Warn others. Guys, live holy. Walk humbly, God, because the Lord is coming. Can I get an amen tonight? The Lord is coming. Stand with us as we pray. I'm going to pray for us and with us. This altar is open for anyone that would like to join me here as we recommit ourselves to the urgency of what God is calling us to do and reaching the lost. Knowing that the Scripture says that judgment is coming. If you've got a lost loved one that is that you've been praying for, I ask that you show up here tonight. That you call out their name. That you ask God to give you divine appointments to share His word with them. Let's pray together. Oh Jesus. God, thank you for your word. God, even in a message like this that is hard. God, I want to thank you that you have warned us. God, thank you that you've given us a head, that we're in the season of invitation. God, thank you for your words through Jude tonight. God, we confess that we have... As a culture, we have softened the truth to make it more palatable. God, we have been silent when we should have spoken. God, we have been comfortable when we should have been convicted. And I ask, God, that you awaken us, not just as Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church, but as Christians all over this country and this globe, that you awaken us to what is coming soon. God, remind us that you are not mocked. The judgment is real. But God, thank you that in your justice, oh Lord, you made a way through Jesus. God, you poured out your wrath on the cross, Lord God, that mercy could be poured out on us. God, help us, God, please to not just nod in agreement and live in alignment to you. I ask God that you help us leave here tonight out of this door with a renewed sense of urgency that is like a fire that is lit up in our bones. God, may we have your gospel, your truth, your love on our lips. May we interact with the truth in our daily interactions. God, because you are worthy and people are perishing. God, we long for the day when you return. God, but until then, God, let us live like those who have been warned. Lord, let us live like those that have a warning to give. God, let us live like those who have been saved and God, who are now to watch and work with a sense of urgency. God, in the mighty, merciful, and I'm so glad that you are returning name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us in your holy name. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Are all minds, hearts, consciences clear tonight? Anybody? Thank y'all. Tough message to bring. Y'all received it well. Thank you all for being such a good church. Let's live with that urgency. Anyone got anything? All right. Yeah, Miss Meredith. What's that, Miss Meredith? Miss Meredith says she has a sense of urgency for her family. So we will join Miss Meredith in prayer. We'll join her in prayer. Anyone else? Let's pray together. Lord God, we join with Miss Meredith. Lord, we hear her heart. God, we hear her spirit tonight. God, we ask that you give divine appointments for planting, cultivating, and watering the seeds that are planted in Miss Meredith's family. God, I ask that you give her the wisdom and the strength to know when to cultivate and to plant those things. Give her divine appointments as she begins to witness intentionally to those folks. Remind us in our prayer time to bring Miss Meredith's family to you and to lay them at your feet. God, again, we thank you and we praise you. We ask that you keep us safe and bring us back to our next appointed time. In your holy name we pray, amen. See y'all later.